Please be seated. God bless your wonderful hearts. Wonderful to see your beautiful faces. And you all look like you're pretty blessed today, huh? Yeah, what does it take to get excited in our times? To get turned on and get excited and blessed and everything else like that. You know, sometimes it takes a envelope with a lot of money in it, unexpectedly. Do you get blessed like that, excited to get something like that? How about a Charger football game ticket on the 50-yard line? All right, we get excited. People start doing things and moving around because they're excited, right? And, boy, if the Padres win today, we should really get excited. They've lost 9 in a row or something like that. So, you know, think about it. What's happened to you and in your life that gets you excited, whereby you would respond and maybe even get up and start dancing a little bit? Yeah? I know when T would hit the winning basket to win the game, I bet she did some dancing and stuff, right? All right, little slap hands and stuff like that, getting excited, putting the ball through a rope net. At the right time, right game. I bet Kent Davenport, when he got his report back that he sold 1,000 cases of waffle mix for the month, I bet he just, oh boy, real exciting. No, he got up, bet he was dancing, getting excited, right? Sure, I know Michael Barbera, if he got a $1 million mortgage loan contract, he wouldn't be sitting down. He'd be up and dancing too, I'm sure, right? Yeah, and Emmy, she's just going to be excited just being here. She got off the airplane, came down, got her luggage, and she was just excited. Here I am, San Diego! All right! So, wow. Now, when Ken Fonda hits that 40-foot birdie putt, do you think he gets a little excited? Yeah. Green there, real excited. Yeah, yeah. Sure. And Grace gets excited about anything if it has something to do with the Bible or whatever, you know? She's always excited. And I bet Jan, when she finished her Aramaic work and her research books, I bet she was finally all right. Yeah, yeah. And Al and Shanti got their new little puppy and they were pretty excited, huh? So a lot of things get us excited, doesn't it? I want you to go to 2 Samuel, and we're going to look at somebody that got real excited about something to the extent that he did some dancing as well. So 2 Samuel, chapter 6, and let's pick it up in verse 12. And this is King David. Who was bringing the Ark of the Lord back to Jerusalem. And let's see what his response was in that act. So 6:12, 2 Samuel. And it was told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the Ark of God." The Ark of God stayed there for a few months. And you know what happened to that family? They got really blessed. So David was excited about, hey, let's get this Ark back to Jerusalem. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. So according to the law, they were doing sacrifices, and they were into it. Verse 14, and David danced before the Lord like, okay, I'm a dancing here. No, he danced with what? All his might. He was so happy. He was so blessed that he expressed himself in dance. And he did it with all his might. He didn't hold back. I know sometimes Christians feel like, well, I don't want to get too excited now, you know. I know the football games yell and scream and yell all kinds of things, and these sporting events, they yell and scream. Oh, a Christian, we don't want to get too excited. David was excited. Now, I know he wasn't a Christian, but he was a man of God. And why was he all excited? That the ark of God, the presence of God, right? That ark of God represented the presence of God. Wow. Verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michelle? Saul's daughter looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and he despised him in her heart. You know, she got, oh, he doesn't look good in front of the public like that. He shouldn't be doing that. Amazing. Did it bother David that he was dancing and excited for the Lord? Not at all. Not at all. So, man, oh man. Look at this record is also in Chronicles. So let's take a look at this record in Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's take a look at it as it's written in 1 Chronicles 15, 25. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers and Chineah and the master of the song with the singers, David also had upon him an ephod of linen. Thus, all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with sound of the cornet and with trumpets and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. And it came to pass that the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, and Michelle, thank you, the daughter of Saul, looked out at a window, saw David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. Too bad she had that attitude about that. Well, verse 1, chapter 16, so they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent and David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of the offerings, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. It was such a big deal to have the presence of God there in the city that there were people specially designed to praise God all the time, all the time. What a wonderful attitude to have in regard to the presence of God. Now, where is the presence of God today for us as born-again ones? Inside of us, we get born again of God's Spirit. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be made whole, saved. So you've got gift of Holy Spirit in you. You're born again of God's Spirit. It's God in Christ in you. So the presence of God is in you. God was waiting to do this for a long time, wasn't he? And it was made available through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for paying that ultimate price. Amazing. But you and I can be excited too. Why not? Because the presence of God is within us. Wonderful. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. You know, having the reality of God and Christ in you is just the most fantastic thing in the whole world. What kind of feelings did you have when you got born again? Did you know enough of God's word to understand what it meant to be born again? That you, when you did, you got excited and blessed, danced with all your might? I don't know. I think a lot of people haven't experienced that, have not really realized the greatness of what it is to be born again. My experience was this. I'll share with you my experience. When I was 12 years old, I was watching a Disney program on television, and they had a thing about future lands, and there would be cities under the seas, you know, and this would be, you know, 1,000 years. It'd be 3,000 AD or something, you know. And you know what I thought? I was 12 years old, and I was scratching my head a little bit. I thought, I realized I would not be alive then. You know, you live to 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, and then you're dead. And I thought, man, what is life? What's the purpose of life? I mean, what happens here? And man, that scared the hell out of me. You know, as a small kid, you don't think about those things, but then you reach a point that you do. And man, I cried all night, and I was just a mess. And I really wanted to know God. I really wanted to, if there was a God, I wanted to really know Him and find out about Him. So when I was 8 years later, when I was 20 years old, I took a class, a Bible class, Power for Abundant Living, and it taught me something that fit so perfectly, it just blew my mind. I've never seen anything fit so wonderfully, and it was so great, so wonderful. It was the Word of God. God's Word rightly divided so that I could be born again, I could know who I am in Christ. And you know what else I did? I spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the manifestation of the reality of the gift of Holy Spirit within. When I spoke in tongues, I was dancing. I was so excited. Man, oh man. And most of it, I guess my excitement was inside. And I know we can get excited inside. You don't have to yell and scream and everything else like that. But boy, I went out to the farmlands there and looked up at the stars and just was so thankful to the Heavenly Father that this kind of life would be available, that He would make Himself known through His Word. And man, I was excited. I was turned on. I made a commitment to God then. I said, I'm yours. All, you know, that's it. This is so good, so great. There's nothing that comes close to living a lifestyle of a Christian born again of God's Spirit. And man, oh man, you know what the world's been trying to do ever since then? Snuff that. Make other things more important. Oh my golly. Basketball. You know, I played basketball at East Carolina University, and that's when I got into the Word. And I was doing good in basketball. My sophomore year, I was a sixth man, you know, coming in, playing a lot. And then I took this class that summer, and I came back, and I didn't play too much from then because my priorities, I guess, changed. And but man, oh man, nothing more exciting, you know. And I was in business. I worked for IBM and, you know, selling stuff. And that was, you know, get into that. But you know what? Being born again of God's Spirit is more exciting than anything you could imagine. And if it's true, then why not get excited about it? Why not express it? Why not get into dancing a little bit? I know Daniel here. Boy, he gets excited about God's Word, right? And I've seen him do some dances. So when you get excited about God's Word. Yeah. Get up here. Yeah. Daniel gets excited about God's word. What do you do? Yeah, there we go. Uh-oh. I find that too. I get the same results. All right. Let's chapter 3. Recorded in the book of Acts is when this Christianity was first made available on the day of Pentecost, chapter 2. And boy, oh boy, everybody's lives were changed. They were excited. And God recorded a certain event. And I'm sure God could have done a lot of things here. He could have put all kinds of different stories, events that occurred. But he put this one in here for us to know and read today. So chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him up by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into them with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Was he excited? He just didn't walk to the table. He was excited. He was screaming, "Yeah, all right. Why not get excited about being born again of God's Spirit?" Wow. This guy did. Imagine he was about 40 years old, it says later on. He was there, couldn't walk, but now he could. So he was so, so excited. Now, you and I, we were without God and without hope until the time we heard God's word rightly divided, huh? And believed it and walked out on it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, please. You're in Acts. Next book is Corinthians. This verse just says it all. It nails it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" You don't belong to yourself. Sorry. That's what God's word says. You are the temple. You house the gift of Holy Spirit. That's something to get excited about. "For you are bought." And in the Greek it says, "You were bought with a price." Now who paid that price? Who would pay a price by which you and I could be born again of God's Spirit, have Christ in us, and be able to have eternal life? Yeah, the Son of God, he did it. So it says, "As a result that you are bought with a price, therefore what? Glorify God in your body." Man, get excited about it. Get excited about being a born-again believer. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Boy, I know this is such great stuff. We're going to look at some sonship rights. Who you are in Christ, being a son. And I appreciate that you don't get too excited and start yelling and screaming, okay? Because I know the reality of God's word is so much bigger than what you hear in the world today that I don't blame you for getting excited, okay? So keep it down here a little bit, all right? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, okay, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a fight between you and God ever? Never, ever. Get out of fellowship? With, yeah. But is there always a way back? Always a way back. Because you have peace with God. You have peace with God. You have been justified. Justified. Let's look at this in chapter 5, verse 16. Verse 16. Now, hold on to this one now. And not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, who was that one man? Adam. Because of Adam, death lived in man. It reigned. It was what man had to look forward to. Every man, that's what he looked forward to, is death. Okay? By one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Woo! All right.
Look what it says.
I know.
Abundance.
Woo! Yeah. So that's, you get dancing. Now take it easy here, Al. All right, Al. I think you need to settle down. Why don't you go cook some hamburgers, okay? Thank you. This happens sometime in these fellowships. If you're new here, people get so excited by the word, we just have to, you know, let them settle down a little bit, all right? Wow. Chapter 8. Hey, I know this is simple, you know, print on a page here, but this is the book of life, isn't it? It is the book of life. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And it was what? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. This is the word of life. Wow. Chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that's that gift of Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We have that spirit within us. And having that spirit, we are what? Children of God. And if children, then heirs. We're heirs of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. When we have, you know, when they have those meetings and you're an heir, And somebody dies and you give out the inheritance, right? We're joint heirs with Christ. What do you think he's getting? We join right on in. Man, oh man, oh man. Hey, if you found out that Uncle Harry had $100,000 he was leaving you and it was time to give out the inheritance, would you be a little excited? Yeah. Well, look what we have to look forward to. We're joint heirs with Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians. Romans 1, 2 Corinthians. This one, again, there's some verses in God's Word that just is too much. And this one is way too much. And if it wasn't God's Word, I wouldn't believe it. But it is God's Word, and I do believe it. Chapter 5. I'm sorry, did I say 2 Corinthians? Verse 21, chapter 5, for he hath made him, referring to Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. And some understanding is that he became a sin offering, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of David? Moses, those guys, and you know, if you could be associated with those guys, wow. Abraham, father of believing? No, what is it? The righteousness of God. You have the righteousness of God. Man, oh man. It's too big to believe, isn't it? I mean, it's just, but it's true. And we have the opportunity to believe that and live our life with that understanding. I know there's stuff going on in our lives, personal situations, finance, but I tell you what, the reality of God's Word and who you are in Christ is so much bigger than that. And I'm thankful, and you know, I have my little problems, but I'm thankful that I can still dance for the Lord because I've got Christ in me. These realities are true. Now, I've got a question for you. What would you do if something made you glad? Smile, okay. Smile, yeah. What would you do if something made you glad with joy? See, that bigger smile there. I saw a bigger smile. Alex has a beautiful smile, but when I said with joy, she went, wow. Now, what would you do if something made you glad with exceeding joy? Now, that's dancing music, right? There we go. Hold on. Get your dancing shoes out. That's why we got our, you know, our athletic shoes so we can move around right fancy-like here. So we're going to go to 1 Peter 4:3. Thanks for putting up with me today, folks. 4:13. Let's see, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. All right? You know, legally we have partook of Christ's sufferings. You know, we suffered with him. We died with him, God's word says. We were buried with him. We rose with him. We associate with him all the way through. We fully identify with him. Okay? We are partakers of his sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, and this is when Christ comes back, and a lot's going to happen when he comes back. He's going to gather the born-again ones, right? And some other wonderful things are going to happen after that. When that happens, when his glory shall be revealed, you may be what? Glad also with what? Exceeding joy. Man, can we get excited about the future? When Christ comes back, the future's nailed for us. You know, people try to get you in these investments to secure your future for, you know, so you got plenty of money. Future secure, because Christ is coming back and we are going to be there with dancing shoes or without. We're going to be there. And man, that alone should really excite us day in and day out, right? Christ is coming back at any time. Whew. 2 Thessalonians. We're finishing up here pretty soon here. We're going to have a great picnic this afternoon. And I think it's wonderful that we'll be able to, you know, once we start eating and everybody gets fed, we can do this open mic and share some testimonies. There's some great things that people have experienced that God has blessed them big time. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is great here. Chapter 2. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Why? Why would we be bound to give thanks all the time? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You've been sanctified, set apart, special for Him. Wow. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Our future is secure. So let's get excited about what we can do each and every day, huh? Our fellowships. The fellowship in the home is just, that is so precious. And I want to encourage you to really be a part of your home family fellowships. Because that's where you not only can receive, but you can give and share and bless people. Those home family fellowships are what's going to move God's word over the world, not mega churches. Mega churches will entertain you. They may share some exciting things, and I'm thankful for that. But then what happens after that? Everybody goes home. The thousands of people go home. Boy, to come to a home family fellowship, 3, 5, 10, 12 people, questions answered, get in, learn things, give things. It's where it's happening. You know, when you're full of the greatness of what we have in Christ, you want to share it, don't you? I would hope anything. If you get excited about something and you've accomplished something, you want to share it, right? You sell those 1,000 cases, you want to share. Hey, I sold 1,000 cases. Hey, I got tickets to the Chargers game. I'm born again in Christ. All right. You know, we want to share this thing and joy and rejoice in it. You know, it says, set your affections on things above and not on the earth, Colossians 3:2 says. And that's a great, great verse. You know, that's where our affections are, is not on things on the earth, but things above. So let's get excited about holding forth God's word, and let's get excited about the realities that we are born again of God's Spirit, okay? Okay, so bless your hearts. Thanks for putting up with me today. And I'm excited that we can do this together as a family, move God's word over the world, okay? So Heavenly Father, we pray and thank you for all the richness of life that you've given us, that you've made available through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would do that for us, demonstrate such a great love. And you said you so loved the world that you gave your Son. So we are grateful, Father. And like David danced and got excited, Father, may we too get excited. And people can see that excitement, Father, and we can speak the word and share what's going on in our hearts. So I pray for open doors to speak your word to hungry souls. Pray for each and every person here, for their love and being a part of the family here and all that they do to bless each other. And I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 All right.